there, everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This is show number 89, and this is August 17th, 2004. And we're recording right now live at the ranch house on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining. Why am I out of breath? I have done no running or anything. But anyway, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts of the show, finally, Don Shaw.
Hey there, Mr. Tom. You sounded kind of undecided if actually the little ranch house was on Southwood Drive or not.
I just came in from running down the driveway. That's what it was. Don Patterson, hello there.
Yes, sir. I wasn't sure if the ranch house was in Texas or were we live or not.
It's certainly good to have you with us today.
I'm glad to be here.
My name is out of breath, Tom Houston. And ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce to you the producer and creator of the Blind Handyman Show. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, none other than Phil Park.
running down the driveway, huh?
My goodness.
Athlete, Summer Olympics.
Summer Olympics.
And I've still got email to go.
I wonder what happened. What happened to you there?
I don't know. It's just...
My heart.
What was I? I got in for shame by a touch.
Number 89.
It was.
Show 89.
What
a deal.
Well, we've prepared a really good show for you today, friends.
You can tell. Well,
89 hours.
Actually, we haven't prepared. We haven't done anything. We haven't prepared. Had a beer and hope for the best. You know,
we did
about
try
all
to walk in the building.
We did come in the building. We are here. That was all our preparation.
That's prep for our show.
We really haven't done anything. I thought I had a screw-in cord, Pat.
I thought that's what you looked.
I was looking. I'm almost positive. I saw one the other day. I redid my cords. It's pretty expensive. I put up new hooks. If you have a studio and you do this kind of thing, you have to have lots of cords. So I have long double cords, short double cords, cords with many plugs on the ends. About seven categories of cords in there, different cords. So if you want a cord, patch cord to patch something, you don't have to look. You don't have to go to Radio Shack. You don't have to look. You know right where it is.
And you got to have it from time to time.
You do.
Actually, I think I have a part of a cord that has the screw arm on part that's good. Yeah. I could probably need you to put
something on it.
A jack on the other end.
Hmm. Well, we could probably do that. I was thinking I had one hanging in there, but I didn't see it. But that's what you need from time to time. But it would be in the miscellaneous cords. And there's lots of those. Those with one end on them, you know, the RCAs that just have a lot of tape on them and stuff.
Okay, that's what I have a lot of then. I didn't know what you called it. I have a lot of miscellaneous cords.
Well, those are your miscellaneous cords, and you have to have those. So I have a whole big hook of miscellaneous cords, and I thought this screw-in, had you screw-in on one end and RCA on the other. I thought I had one, and I went and looked, and sure enough, I didn't see it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
You know, there was a time, and probably still, that you every time you bought something, you got a little AC thing to plug in the wall, and I threw out a box here not very long ago that I must have had 25. I had no idea what they were to. I'm not missing anything, but it was just a box of assorted AC adapters
from different equipment. I have some of those myself that I really need to get rid of.
You mean those big fat wall wart things? Don't get rid of. I've got two boxes full of them. I intend to keep them.
They're sitting there.
There'll come a day when you'll go, Phil, you got a 12-volt power supply with the hot on the ring, you know. Well, I'll have one.
That's the one problem about those. You don't know which side the hot side is on. You could get the voltage and the amperage right, but who knows which side is actually...
You might get it reversed.
You could be messed up.
I put little tags on them sometimes as to what they go to, so that you remember, you know. And then Radio Shack makes a universal one that fits anything.
I have one that plugs into a cigarette lighter, believe it or not, and you can sit from 3 volts to 9 or 12 volts, and it's 9 volts, and it also you can reverse polarity.
I have one.
Those could be handy at times.
I have one like that, but you got to know, you know, where the tip and, you know, what's on the inside, what's on the outside, because you might get the voltage backwards and burn up the piece of equipment for you. That's where you need the talking voltometer. I have one of those also. So, you know, I've got lots of stuff, lots of things hanging around. Dishwashers, we're going to talk about that at the end of the show, right?
Yeah, might as well.
Find out what they do. Mine was broken, and I fixed it, but I don't know what I did to fix it. I mean, it works, but I don't know what I did.
Did you take a sledgehammer to it?
Or? No, I'll tell you about it in a little bit. Well, shall we reach an email, Tommy?
Well, okay, all right. Here's a girl that's really got a problem.
Uh-huh.
She says, "Hi, everybody. I'm sick of waiting for maintenance to install a new toilet, which broke about 3 weeks ago. Now, which kind is best to buy, and will I need special tools to install it myself?"
Toilet or toilet seat?
I think it's a toilet seat, actually.
Yeah.
I'm reading the list. Actually, she's talking about there.
She says, "Darla, who is tired of falling off the damn thing, not really, but
yeah.
someone will eventually." And
she's talking about a toilet seat.
Tallahassee, Florida.
Yes. No, you won't need any special tools. A pair of pliers would be nice if you had one. Sockets would be even better. Or an opening wrench, or really, actually a box-end wrench is what she needs, isn't it?
Well, some of the newer ones, you know, have those nylon.
They do, don't they? Little fingers.
They sure do.
Wing nuts. And I'd say probably her biggest problem in this project will be getting the old one off. If those things are stripped out, you know, sometimes the head is kind of up in a little square hole to hold it from turning. And sometimes they, but depending on what she has and what you can buy a new one for. $10 or $12
a few dollars.
But they do make round ones and oblong ones.
Yeah.
You need to decide which kind you have.
That's right.
I can't imagine walking into the hardware store with your toilet seat.
Really?
You know, I guess there are guys that do that. I went down there to the wash basin one time, sink, laboratory one time, walked in with it to get him to show me how to do something.
That would be easy to determine, I think, though, if she had a long one and then standard, you know.
Because the round ones are just round. I mean, they're just the hole in them is just round. The other one is oblong, and it's usually split at the front.
And for more bucks, you can get wood, can't you not?
Wood versus
plastic.
Or you can get soft. I've seen them with soft, you know,
soft
cushioned.
Ceramic.
That, you know, warm in the winter and shady in the summertime. That's what I like about that fat gal of mine. So you can get all kinds, darling. Go to the hardware store and ask for go get somebody to take you to Lowe's.
And then one thing I talked about on the list, just a reminder on this, that there is also a lot of times something covering the screw head, which is a little cover that's a hinged little cover. You take a screwdriver or something and you would have to pop this cover open in order to get to the screw heads. But if you don't feel a screw head, it's covered by a little.
Yeah.
Or it's covered by, maybe not as a hinge thing, but a little pop off thing.
Yeah, and not to insult her intelligence, but since she asked also, because maybe somebody wouldn't know that, both parts come off at the same time. In other words, you don't have to take the lid off and then the other.
That's
All fastened together.
There's two bolts.
That's it.
And it would be one bolt on each side, and there would be a hex nut on the bottom down there. So it's, should be 15 minutes, ought to take 3 hours. One of those. Because you'll snap off one side and then it won't come out. You'll have to get a hacksaw and, you know, it'll be great. You'll love it.
Yeah.
She's probably already done this by now.
Probably. It's probably a done deal.
All right, Tommy.
Okay. It says, "Hi, everybody. I have windows which are badly in need of washing, inside only. All good hints and suggestions would be appreciated. They have not been done in a long, long time. And while it's still cool, I want to do them. Thank you, Rita." Windex.
Vinegar and water.
All right.
Newspaper.
I was going to say.
Lots of suggestions.
Newspaper. Dry newspaper after you will you just rub it on there, Don? Doesn't that work?
Yeah, I've heard it does. Yeah. I've heard it works good.
What?
Yeah. Newspaper. Cleaning windows.
Dry newspaper?
Newspaper.
I never heard of that.
It's I don't know if it has to do with the tie. I don't know what the deal, but I worked for a lady one time, and we just kind of did general maintenance, mowing and cleaning cleaning out gutters. And my job was climb the ladder and clean the windows on the outside. Well, she was on the inside safe. But we used newspaper at a point during that process. If she knows a good cleaning person, ask somebody, they can tell her.
But Windex or vinegar and water, either one
will work. Yeah,
works real
will work. So. I don't what is to washing windows? You know, you wash them.
As long as you don't get any streaks. You know, if you wash one and the sun's shining on them, you know, you could get a lot of streaks and things from Windex.
Oh, well, blind people don't know about streaks, do they? No, they don't.
But overall...
Like you said, vinegar and water, Windex...
Whatever.
What Pat say? Newspaper?
Yeah. I never heard of that, but I'd like to explore that.
It works. Newspaper works. There's no question about that.
I think we cleaned it with the newspaper and then did with the damp
I think the newspaper will get off a lot of the major.
What does it do? How does that work?
I don't know if it just sticks to the. I don't know, somehow it sticks to
the dirt
paper.
Sticks to the ink on the newspaper or something?
Yeah. Like a magnet or something.
That's wild. I never heard of that. I'll have to try that. Washing my windows. Okay. I've never washed a window in my life.
There's always a first time.
I can't see Adam, so why should I wash him?
What the hell?
Huh? Has anyone here ever replaced a car ignition switch?
No. No way.
No.
Well, this guy has an 87 Plymouth Voyager. He says it's the same as a Caravan. The switch is frozen. Can turn it with channel locks and it will work. Doesn't need the key anymore. He wants some help with it.
I'd spray some cleaner up in there before I did anything.
That's Pete that wrote that.
I'd spray some WD-40 or some. Maybe not WD-40 because it leaves a residue. But get you some LPS cleaner and spray up in there and move it around before you do anything. Before you change it.
Also, what the, I've seen people do. There's something that you put in a lock.
Oh, it's called a graphite powder.
Yeah, that's graphite. What I might.
Graphite
try.
Powder. That's the thing to use. Not LPS, but graphite powder.
But unless there's a harness under there where that ignition would unplug, boy, you're talking about every wire.
Boy, that's
every
no
electrical
lie.
Thing that's on that car at some point seems to be tied into that ignition.
That's right.
But I mean, I'm not necessarily a mechanic, and I've never done it. But I'd that might be.
Might be time to call.
That might be
a mechanical.
Yeah.
Might be. Shop.
87. What?
Voyager.
Voyager.
87
Voyager.
Voyager,
which is the same as a Caravan.
Pete, you might think about a new car.
Upgrading.
Upgrading.
Yeah. We need
it's going to be a classic in another 10 years. I mean,
so are we.
We need our guest from Moonlight Automotive to talk about this, don't we?
We do.
We had
a mechanic guy would have done one. And there was something on the list the other day about, have you ever heard of a blind auto mechanic? Did you ever write him back?
No, I must have missed that post, too.
I saw that. Did you know of any blind auto mechanics? Because we know of
two. We certainly talked to some, haven't
we? The guy in O'Leary, Jerry Leary, remember? In Denver?
Yep.
That sells the coffee. He worked as an auto mechanic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And this guy from Moonlight
Automotive guy.
Funny, yeah.
Yeah. What
his
a deal.
Never done an ignition switch. I would, though. I don't know how you'd start. What holds them in?
Guess you'd have to pull the wheel, and then, man, I don't know.
I think you probably would.
Yeah. I think as long as the channel locks work, I'd just go with
just
it.
I'd sure spray it with graphite powder, though.
But I would also, you might want, just to satisfy your own curiosity, there may be a way to get the insides out of that and not mess with your wiring. In other words, if it, say, like that lock mechanism and everything comes out, and then could be replaced without the wiring, where it's just a switch. You know, I have no idea.
Car Talk guys, man.
Yeah, go to the car section of CarTalk.com, the mechanic section. But, the ignition switch does a lot of things. Every wire from everything doesn't come back to the ignition. But if all he wants to do is start it, I might cut it loose and put a push button switch just for fun.
Yeah.
And if all he wants to do is start the car, that shouldn't be hard to do. All right, go ahead. Do I hear music?
Yeah, you hear a little music, I think.
I hear music in the background. Uh-huh. So that's you doing music in the background.
Yes, sir.
A few minutes my Radio Shack watch. All right, guest today, Donald, is
Ron Yearns, and he's going to be back and talk to us. We're going to visit a little bit about doorbells, maybe, and intercoms, and who knows what all we'll get into.
He's an electrician, has worked as an electrician or something,
yeah.
Right? Good, we've had him on before. We'll have him on again in just a minute. More of the exciting Blind Handyman Show.
On November 7th, 2004, in Houston, Texas, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show, and you're invited to the celebration. We'll arrive Friday, November 5th, at the Sheraton on JFK Boulevard. Saturday, we'll spend the day talking about issues related to blindness. Then Saturday night, it's on to live music and karaoke. Sunday morning at 11 a.m., we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show, and we've got something special planned for Sunday afternoon. Then Sunday night, it's more live music and karaoke. A great time to meet old friends and make new ones. For more information, call 936-634-9500. Or email philparr@txucon.net. We'll see you in Houston in November. We promise you a great hotel, a good time, and perfect weather. Call 936-634-9500. Or email philparr@txucon.net.
Listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, we've had a lot of folks on this show, and we've had this fellow one time before, and he told us about this, I think, as much interest as we've ever had in anything we've ever talked about. Was the story that Ron Yearns told us about the room you built, sir. And we may get you to repeat that story. How are you?
Okay, fine.
Everything going good in your house?
Yes, it's starting to turn into August up here now, though.
Is it? Now, where are you?
Kind of mid-Missouri.
Mid-Missouri?
Yeah, just southeast Kansas City, about 50 miles.
Yeah, are you at work? Are you home, or where are you right now?
Well, I'm at home. I do furniture repair at home.
That's right. You do furniture repair at home, and... And you're the guy. Are you the guy that built? Tell us what you.
Well, that was the upstairs. I built two bedrooms, kitchen, living room on top of the existing house.
On top of the existing house, and we.
Then I tore the old attic out from underneath of it.
That's right. And that man was a deal.
It was quite a project. You were. Did you do this in the wintertime, or did we? Was that some other guy I'm thinking about?
This was started income tax day and finished like the 15th October, finished the outside.
So it was a long, involved project.
Yeah, I was still working, so, you know, I worked from 4 o'clock to 9, seven days a week there, and Saturdays and Sundays to get that done.
But most guys, it's a project most guys wouldn't have the nerve to tackle.
Really?
We went to Austin, this old school for the blind, this weekend, Don Shaw and I did, and they were talking about this guy who had built a cabin down at the lake, and they said a lot of times you'd see him out there at midnight up on the roof working, and you were the same way, because you didn't need to see, did you?
I had, I'm partially sighted.
You got some vision.
Yeah, and had a little better then, but I did get up at 5 and 6 in the morning to do roof work because of the heat.
Yeah, because it'd be so hot in the afternoon that you couldn't do it. How's you doing? Any pretty business? Pretty good furniture refinishing?
Well, it had been real busy for a while. It slacked up. I got one piece in today. Did a little something.
Yeah,
but then also my son's graduated from college, and we've been doing some electrical contracting too.
And you've been helping him with that?
Yeah, you know, mainly in the estimating and parts. Procurement, stuff like that.
So he graduated from college with a degree in what? Degree in...
Actually some kind of aviation technology.
Really?
So he's just kind of filling this in at the time being.
So he's just kind of bumming around doing this electrical stuff that he's doing.
Making yeah, waiting for the right job opportunity.
Ron, this is Don Patterson here. How are you?
Okay.
Have you ever, we had an email a while ago and I was going to ask you with your wife, have you ever had anything to do with an ignition switch in a car?
Yeah.
how many wires are there?
A bunch.
I'm going to say, you've got at least a half a dozen easy. That's just basic. But I remember there was something on the list, according to that. And
That's the one we were talking about.
I know.
That's the one we read, yeah.
The actual switch mechanism is down on the column, you know, about halfway down. But then the key mechanism, what they call a lock cylinder, of course, up there at the top.
Right.
Which is a lot harder to get into and work on.
That's where the problem is. Okay, I was just checking.
Yeah.
So all he's really wanting to change is the lock cylinder, isn't it?
I was going to say, if you have the existing key and it's just the cylinder, that's not too hard to do if you get the right instructions on it. It's kind of a deal. Put the key in, put like a... Oh, a lot of times they'll specify a particular size of drill bit in this hole, and then you can pull the whole cylinder out.
In other words, you put the key in, and then you put a drill bit in a little hole, and you start drilling, and the whole thing will pop loose.
Well, you don't have to drill, no. No, you just put that in there, and that releases something. I think maybe you go ahead and turn it past where it normally goes.
Okay.
But like I said, you got to get the instructions to know what you're doing.
And then you put a drill bit in a hole, and it'll release the whole lock mechanism.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's what that guy needs.
What a hell of a deal,
yeah,
right?
Well, what a guy, Ron.
What a guy.
Yeah,
right?
Good, man.
Came up with that. We'll just call him every week.
Really?
Have you kind of right here. And I never thought of that. But you could probably get the instructions to do that off the Internet if you had access, couldn't you?
Oh, very likely.
Very likely.
Very likely, yeah.
All right. So there's your answer to the guy's question. If you're on the list, you need to send that to the list.
Yeah, I replied some answer. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure if he was talking about the lock cylinder or the actual switch itself, which, you know, two different subjects, really.
Which are two different things.
About
you know,
18 inches apart.
I'd heard that from Car Talk. It just slipped my mind. All right. So you lost your sight later in life, right? You weren't born this way. You gradually lost your sight?
Gradually, yeah. What they call the RP, you know.
So you worked as an electrician or electrical contractor or what?
Well, the whole business.
You did whatever there was to do, right?
The last 20 years I was supervisor of the maintenance group at a university.
Is that right?
What a deal.
What a deal is right. So, and your son is just doing houses or what's he doing?
Yeah, houses repair at this point.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, getting back to furniture repair a little bit and furniture refinishing. You know, refinishing and sanding and putting some kind of finish on either a cabinet or some kind of furniture is something that comes up from time to time, either on the list or a question for the show. And I guess the question is I've got on that is, you know, back in the old days, the furniture strippers to strip off the old finish were definitely not blind friendly at all. They were real rough on your hands. Had to wear rubber gloves and things. Nowadays, with the new modern chemicals is there an easier, better way to strip furniture now that's easier on the hands than the old type of furniture refinishing?
I don't think there's an easy way to strip furniture.
No better improvement than that, huh? Because that's a job.
If you want to go with sandblasting, maybe you might call that easy, but. It's labor intensive. I don't care how you get it, you're never going to get it all out of them cracks.
Yeah, that's the problem right there, is getting all that old finish out of everything.
You're down to, you know, small mechanical tools to scrape it out of there.
Yep. I just figured by this time, after all these years, maybe there'd be
somebody would have come up with an easier way to do it, but not true.
Well, wood's a natural product, got pores into it, and that hasn't changed. That's the main part.
Yeah, and you're going to have
down in there.
You're going to have chemicals down in those pores, aren't you?
Sure enough.
And it's just hard to get all that stuff off.
We talked some last night about the doorbells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I called two suppliers because one gentleman on the list complained because he couldn't get anything but the electronic chimes.
Yeah.
Well, one gentleman says, yeah, that's all we carry. And the other says, oh, yeah, you're talking about the old solenoid plunger types? Sure, that's all we've got. So they are available.
Depends on who you talk to, doesn't it?
Yeah. Which company?
Because that's...
Well, the solenoid plunger is the only one I'm familiar with. That when you push the bell, the solenoid goes one way, and when you let it go, it goes ding.
And that's the one we've got dong. At home.
No, that's it. It's the only one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, I take that back. The one I've got now, come to think of it, is a programmable doorbell with 12 different songs in it. So it's electronic. It's sort of a little computer, isn't it?
Mm, sound like it.
Yeah, because you can put happy birthday to you or Gail, hail the gang's all. You can put 12 different things in it. And we saw one that was really expensive that you could put your own tune in. that you could, some way or another, you could tie a keyboard to it, and you could put your own melody in your doorbell.
That's real neat.
I didn't think I needed that. I bought the one with a dozen tunes.
It's kind of like a cell phone is playing all this music. You don't even know the phone's ringing.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife had the Rockford Files theme in her phone for a while, you know? It was really weird. They download these rings.
Ringtones,
you know?
Man.
Ringtones. So one guy wanted the plunger type and couldn't find them.
Yeah, he was having trouble, or he had to buy a whole kit. But, you know, you're buying piecemeal. You need to go to an electrical supply house.
Yeah.
You know, Lowe's and, well, even Walmart has at times carriage stuff like that. And that sometimes it works. Sometimes you don't get what you want. So you got to go to the people that are really supplying it.
But you found a guy who'll sell you the old plunger type doorbell.
Sure.
Do you have an email address on him or a phone number or anything? That you?
Well, it's a Broan, B-R-O-A-N, is the brand of the equipment.
V as in Victor?
No, B as in boy.
Oh, B-R-O-A-N.
Yes, sir.
Broan.
Yeah.
Right. And
that's a national brand. You know, you should be able to get it through any supplier.
Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't carry Newtone, but that's another supplier. They're about the only two that really make them big time.
That make doorbells?
Yeah, doorbells, intercoms, yeah. And what have you.
Yeah, I'd like to know what ours is, because it's the old mechanical kind.
Yeah, yours, I know it is, because I've moved it.
Oh, did you?
It was around in the hall originally, in your house.
Yeah.
And you couldn't hear it in the backyard, so I moved it around where it is now, ran it through that little closet that's there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You haven't seen that? I can't
believe. Oh, sure. Yeah. It's a better location where it's at now.
Yeah, I put it around in the living room where you could hear it out back, you know?
And you could. You could hear it out back.
You can hear it on the patio now because I would spend a lot of time out there drinking and doing other things. So I
had a similar problem. Too big a house. You couldn't hear one doorbell. So yeah. I end up with three different, you know, chimes.
Yeah. Then you can run them all off the same transformer.
Well, I had a little problem with that.
All right. Tell us about that. That's good.
Because every time you put something there, you're putting electrical load.
Yep.
So you get back to this theoretically Ohm's law of business, and transformers are rated in what they call VA, which is volt amps, which corresponds to watts, if you get right down to it. And at the voltage rating they sell them at, which is 10, 12, 18 or something. Or
yeah, 24 volts or whatever. Yeah.
You put that many door chimes on them, they won't run them. They just go boom.
Yeah,
really?
Because of too much load.
Uh-huh.
There wasn't enough VAs. And they didn't make doorbell transformers in a larger VA. Says, now, you know, you've got the standard size.
So you ended up?
So I went and got a 24-volt transformer for furnaces in a larger VA.
Uh-huh.
And with that load on it, the voltage dropped to, you know, about 18 or so, because you're back to load dependency.
Yeah.
You know, if you put a dead short on a transformer, you ain't going to get any voltages. But somewhere in between there is come up with something that worked real well.
So what voltage did you want? 12 or what?
The chimes were rated at like 16, I think.
So down to 18, that'll work fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not enough of a problem to cause any big deal.
So that solved that problem.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Radio Shack makes a wireless doorbell.
Yeah. Now, there's another thing I ran into, too.
What's
most
that?
Doorbell wire now is like 22-gauge.
Yeah.
Which is like telephone wire, which is pretty small.
Yeah.
And you go running a lot of feet of that, well, wire's got resistance in it.
Well, and it's solid core wire. I mean, it's not
solid
stranded.
Solid wire, yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to have more resistance than stranded wire would have.
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, you may have to hunt around 18-gauge is about the smallest I'd really want to use if you're going long distance. Might be a special order or something again, but you go back to the electrical supplier, you can tend to get what you want.
If you have one in your tent. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I was going to ask you, and maybe Ron could elaborate, on the wireless doorbells. Have you had any experience with them? I know I investigated one place in my house that when we built, I neglected to put a phone wire, and the guys, you know, they make wireless phone jacks now. But
yeah,
the guy, the installer, said, well, you know, they work fine and all that, but he said if you keep getting kicked off the internet, he said sometimes they'll just do that with DSL. So I never did mess with it, but I was just wondering, would these wireless doorbells interfere with, or is it all a self-contained unit, or would you have the switch? How would that work?
No, it's a switch at the. It's a box at the door with a little 9-volt battery in it that has the button, and it's obviously a little transmitter, and then there's a little receiver because it would take a lot more voltage to transmit. There's a little receiver on the other end that takes maybe two, that might take, makes maybe 3 volts. Takes two little AAA batteries.
That'd be fantastic.
On the other end, and they actually work pretty good.
Pretty good.
I'm thinking the one we put in, it was for a handicap place.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the receiver actually plugged into an outlet and the
that'd be better.
Was just on the button.
We have one at the office that's like that. The receiver does plug into 110 volts.
The transmitter does?
Yeah, it does.
The transmitting end, because it would take more voltage.
Yeah.
That would be even better.
Yeah, it would.
The only thing I found is, you know, I put it on a post in the backyard, and of course you leave it out there a year, then it's all corroded. You got to clean it. When you wonder, you know, in the wintertime you don't need it, and then the following spring it won't work, and you wonder, well, it's gotten all corroded, you know.
Yeah.
So you just got to take it apart and clean it. But yeah, they work. Even the Radio Shack ones work pretty well. What I want is a driveway monitor, but they're expensive. Cheapest one I found is like $160 that would do what I want it
for
to
audio,
do.
For audio, you mean?
Well, just to make a noise when somebody passes that point on my driveway.
Oh, to break a beam?
Because the way we are, you know, you can't see our house from the road.
Now,
and
that's
people
a doable
wonder,
deal.
People wonder, what's back there? So occasionally, you know, once a week or so, you'll have a drive through. And, you know, you know if they're casing the joint or you don't know what they're...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to know when they come through so I can run out with my shotgun and go, you know, this ain't where you want to be, Cliff, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's a doable deal.
Well, yeah, but it's an expensive doable deal.
And you're wanting that wireless, too?
Yeah, you'd have to run it wireless where I am, yeah.
Or as you're talking, huh?
Uh-huh.
You know, I would look into getting... I saw a lady on Channel 8 or one of the some technology person, and she was doing like home cameras now are real big, and you can even plug them in, you have them where they show on your computer monitor and all that, and I think even maybe with some sound, and the whole, some it's not an expensive proposition. I
mean, yeah, if it could do audio, you could just hear the car just rolling up the driveway, man. What a deal that'd be.
Well, yeah, if you put a camera out there and left your computer on it. But I don't want to get, you know, for $160, I can buy a driveway monitor that'll chime when somebody breaks that beam.
Well, you ought to. Well, maybe
I just wouldn't want to.
It's when it breaks the beam, then have a little delay, and then record some shotgun blasts.
You could.
Our guy going, all right.
Come out of the car with your hands.
That's right.
I've been sitting there on the porch, and some guy just sort of swing through. You know, and you just kind of wave at him. What do you do? You know, he doesn't know where he is. He's turned up this road. Of course, it has private drive, do not enter. I guess, you know, if you mounted a big gun cannon there above the driveway.
Yeah, but it could be like the rides at Astro World or something. You could have these shotgun blasts and things as you were driving by. What a deal, man.
You should live close to a university with parking problems.
What, do they park in your
Well, there's two lots between me and one of the parking lots, and we have a back alley, and we have a shared drive between two houses.
Yeah.
And I've had them park right 2 feet from my overhead garage door.
Really?
Just because they couldn't find a place to park.
Man.
And you had to go out and tell them that you couldn't park there.
Well, the police told them that when they were there.
You called the police?
Well, yes. We're on first-name basis pretty well.
Yeah,
around the start of school, and they, you know, they parked in my driveway, and
just think nothing of parking in your driveway.
No,
man,
Frankie,
that
they
is
just think finders keepers type thing. But
yeah, I guess
never,
that's true.
I've been hoping so I would get one towed, but I never had got one towed yet.
That hadn't happened
on
yet.
The way before they'd show.
Yeah,
well, you know,
so I haven't bagged many that away, just tickets.
It's not a big problem, I say it happens once a week. It may happen twice a month, but it's just annoying that someone would have the nerve to do that, to just, you know, to go someplace. You don't know this day and time what people are doing. We have a guy here who was sitting at his front window at his house, Houston.
Uh-huh.
Tell this story.
Oh, when I was on Betty Street, yes.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the front window. And I was just kind of sitting there playing with the computer and looked out in broad open daylight. And this guy pulls up in a pickup truck. And he couldn't tell from the road that we had a little fence across the front of the carport. And we had it open. And the dogs were in the backyard, a fenced-in backyard. And so he could not see the dogs at that point in time.
Yeah.
So he was just going to walk up. He saw a lawnmower at the front part of the garage, couldn't see the fence.
And couldn't see you.
And could not see me because I didn't have a light on. I had plenty of light from the sun, and he could not see in there where I was sitting. And I just sat there and watched as he got out of his truck, walked towards the lawnmower. And, of course, as he got closer to the lawnmower, the dogs spotted him. And boy, he like had a heart attack turning around and getting back to that truck. But
he was fixing to get your lawnmower.
He was fixing to get, and it really, something like that, and I can testify that it unnerves you. I mean, it's an unnerving type thing.
Yeah.
Someone that has enough gall to get out of their truck in broad open daylight and walk up in your yard and take a lawnmower out of your garage in broad open daylight. That take a lot of nerve.
It does. Oh, yeah.
Well, and it violates your space and it scares you.
It bothers you for a few days.
And if those dogs wouldn't have been there.
Oh, Lassie and Buffy like to scare that poor guy to death.
I bet.
It was a funny thing after it was all over with, but it was really scary while it was going on.
Anyway, doorbells and driveway monitors and phone, and they make a phone jack that you just plug something into the real phone jack and you can take it 20 feet away and put it up on the wall and you got another phone jack, right? Of course, they make phones with a base and then a separate charging unit for the receiver also.
Which might be the way to go.
Which would be the thing to do.
Oh, sure. Seems like it would be.
Patterson.
Seems like it would be.
He left the building.
Is he gone?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did he sneak in?
About intercoms.
We'll do what?
Intercoms,
you know, where you plug them in.
Yeah.
What they call FM wireless.
And they use the electrical wiring?
Yeah, I've had some experience with those that, I don't know, if you're familiar with your panel box, you've got like three wires, you got two hots and a neutral.
Oh, yeah.
If you're on the same side with the same hot leg, they work pretty good. But if you go on the opposite side, you tend to get a lot of noise and static, and doesn't really work that well.
Yeah.
So that's one thing you have to watch for.
One, two, three.
You've got several, of those.
Six, seven. I've got seven of those Radio Shack 3-channel intercoms that they make. Because I've got two different buildings, and it's funny, they work pretty good between the buildings, but there are places in the house they don't like, and I guess it's because the plug is swapped, right? The wiring on the plug is.
Yeah.
When
you're on the opposite side of the panel, it has to go clear outside through the transformer and come back in to get to the other side.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just sometimes they work pretty good, but if between the buildings, they work good, and they seem to work. Some days they work better than other days. It kind of depends on dampness or something.
Yeah, that's strange.
I don't know the answer on that one.
Some days they'll be kind of annoying because when I come out here, I click the one on in the den, so if the doorbell in the house rings, I can hear it. Now, I guess I could solve that problem by running, you know, putting a wireless doorbell, or there's a lot of things I could do, but it's just easy. Just as I walk out the door, the intercom's right there. I just lock it on, and then I'm in the studio, and I can hear if anybody delivers a package, if anybody comes to my door, or if anybody walks in my house, because that door's then unlocked, you know, for me to get. You know, you feel stupid going out of your house and walking 20 feet to your other building and locking the damn door in your house. You just, I can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just, man, if we're that tense, then maybe I need to get a bulletproof vest or something.
Yeah, might be time to move or do something.
It's just time to do something. So I just punch the intercom on and sit out here when I'm out here working. Then I can hear it, and it works pretty well. You know, if somebody rings the doorbell, well, I know that somebody's come to see Phil.
It's like a room monitor.
That's right. It's like a baby monitor.
Yeah.
Is that locked where you can talk to them?
Yeah. It's locked. No, I can't talk to them, but I can, if I hear the doorbell ring, then I can get to the door by the time I can come out of my building and along the boardwalk into their, you know, and find them.
Well, he could get there in time to help him with his color TV.
To help get it in the truck, you know. That'd be about it, Ron. Right?
I'm going to say, the way UPS drops and runs here, if I'm upstairs, they're a block away by the time I get to the door.
Well, now, that's true. That's true. When they leave something, and boy, at Christmas time, my wife does all her Christmas shopping online, and there's stuff fogging in here like you wouldn't believe before Christmas. And the UPS guy, they just, you know, hit the doorbell and leave, and that's all right. But at least I know, you know, I've got some indication that there was.
That's right.
Go see what came there.
Yeah, what wonderful goodie I've gotten.
That's right.
All right. Now we're going to go away and talk about dishwashers, I think. You know anything about dishwashers?
They're a pain, that's for sure.
They are a pain. We're going to... I worked on one. I fixed one this morning. I don't know what I did to fix it yet, but we're going to talk about dishwashers, sir. And you keep on keeping on. We'll check with you in a month or two.
They will do that.
All right. Thank Ron.
All right. Be careful.
Bye,
right.
Ron.
Yeah, we'll see
all
you,
right,
Ron.
Sir. We'll be back
easy,
with...
Ron.
Take more phone calls and your ideas on what we ought to be doing in just a minute with the exciting Blind Handyman Show.
We'll arrive Friday, November 5th at the Sheraton on JFK Boulevard. Saturday, we'll spend the day talking about issues related to blindness. Then Saturday night, it's on to live music and karaoke. Sunday morning at 11 a.m., we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show. And we've got something special planned for Sunday afternoon. Then Sunday night, it's more live music and karaoke. A great time to meet old friends and make new ones. For more information, call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucon.net. We'll see you in Houston in November. We promise you a great hotel, a good time, and perfect weather. Call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucon.net.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Well, we're back to...
Absolutely back. No, no question.
To hash around dishwasher repair.
I don't know much about them.
I don't know a whole lot about dishwashers either, except I did have your problem one time in Conroe, so we'll see what we see here.
In other words, it would run, but there no water would come?
That's right. Same exact deal, man.
Well, all I did was take... I looked at the line that comes in, and I couldn't figure out where it enters the dishwasher. And I got to looking, and there's only two places it can come in, and one of them is right in the middle at the bottom, which is where the water comes in, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be where it comes in, because it's got this spinning thing above it, and it's obviously the water pressure makes this thing spin.
Yeah.
Is what the deal is. And is that right, Patterson? Don't start you to lie.
No,
huh?
Yeah. But if you take off the front panel of the dishwasher, not the part, but the front panel below the door,
uh-huh.
You can like touch the whole, the solenoid with the what you'll feel the water lines running into the solenoid, and you'll feel where the electrical lines plug into the solenoid, and you can. I think this time what you did is probably either you tapped it or tapped around something, and it probably got unstuck. But at some point, it's probably going to do the same thing again. And if it does, then you're going to have to replace the whole solenoid.
So you think that solenoid's in the door?
I think it's below the door.
Under there is a panel.
There's
right
a panel
below
the door, and it's
off.
Behind that.
Okay, but the water line doesn't go up there.
Yeah, the water line runs to the solenoid.
It runs up across under the dishwasher and then into the door.
Yeah, it runs up front of the dishwasher underneath the door.
You know, there's this panel is separate. You can leave the door shut and still take it off.
Yeah.
I got
yeah.
your point.
Yeah.
I see. I know what you're talking about. I got you. Okay,
all that's
I got
behind
you.
That panel.
Okay, everything's behind that panel. So it runs up there and then runs back to the center of the dishwasher.
Yeah.
And that solenoid kicks it off and on.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to turn the 220 off first, though, right?
Yeah, I would probably think about
turning
that
breaker
off first.
Well, all I did was take this spinning thing, has a thing on top of it that's a rubber deal, and I unscrewed it and took the spinning thing off and just looked at it and looked at what it sits on, and put it back on and kicked the dishwasher on, and it worked.
Well, I wondered then if something had gotten in the way and kept that
thing from spinning.
Then maybe not a solenoid, but
I don't know. But it worked. Of course, I'm not satisfied with it. I mean, I know that I didn't solve the problem because I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering if there's a filter there or something, and the filter got stopped up, and me taking that loose got some debris out of the filter, and you'd think there would be.
Yeah, but I don't know about a filter exactly, if there might be a filter, but I bet you that solenoid may be.
That solenoid is fixing to go on me, right?
Fixing to bite the dust. And, you know, it's no big deal. It's just held in like by 2 volts, and then the water lines are attached to each side of the solenoid, and they probably either maybe have a little clamp.
You know, so I could change it if I had one.
Yeah, and you could probably buy that from the appliance doctor or something here in town. Or
would have that thing. So you think that's the deal, that it just wasn't opening and allowing water to...
Probably that was the deal, because that's what happened to ours. So when the solenoid went out on ours, when it finally went out, I think it was the same deal. Maybe it didn't happen just like all at once. It may have been over a period of time.
Uh-huh.
But when it finally just stopped working, the water just didn't ever get into the dishwasher.
No water went to the dishwasher.
You would hear the pump come on, but you would just never hear the water come on to fill the dishwasher.
Because you hear... The first thing you hear is that water, noise of water.
Yep.
And then the pump starts to come on. If it doesn't have enough water or something, it kicks back off and back off and two or three times, and then it'll finally. So that's interesting. So change that solenoid. And did you do it yourself?
Yes. And it wasn't that bad of a job.
How'd you know that was the deal?
It was harder finding it than anything. Well, I had someone that knew just something about it and had looked at it and said that showed me where the solenoid was at and said that was probably it. That was probably what the problem was.
Yeah.
And that's how I originally had found the solenoid to start with. I can change that.
I think it's a Whirlpool, so Sears would have one.
Sears should probably have it. Sears Parts should probably
Sears Parts would have it.
And I have an idea. It's similar, actually, in like it's on your ice maker.
But be the same thing.
It's kind of the same kind
of
deal.
And, you know, with all of the water, you know, I needed that. I had a man, my ice box was still under warranty, and so this guy from Bubba's Appliances here in town, who was good,
Bubba.
He fixed mine, you know, at their expense. And then the second time it went out within a 4-month period, and he said it's just strictly them turning off and with all this water pipe, you know, they put all these new water pipes, and you just probably got dirt up in there. And he said, basically, you just replacing them is the only way to... You know, but
see, I think we had the same problem. Ours went out too on our ice maker, and we replaced one also.
There is a Bubba's Appliance.
Yes, he's very good. Bubba's Appliance. He's
I bet you.
Only in East Texas.
In East Texas.
Bubba's Appliance.
Well, he probably owns a dump truck too, or something. You know?
Well, you'd think he would. I miss Bubba's. Did you buy your fridge from him or what?
No, it was from Sears, but he is their authorized.
He is Bubba's
repair guy. Yeah.
I sure wouldn't name my appliance a repair business Bubba's. Would you, Tom Houston?
I don't know.
I've never used the guy.
It might work in East Texas.
I'd probably be good in East Texas. Bubba's Appliance.
What is
it? Oh, can fix us our stove. Old Bubba can.
Yeah.
What a deal, man.
We might sell him some...
Only in East Texas.
Some advertising on a radio program that's not heard in Lufkin.
Yeah, really.
Bubba's Appliance. I always use Action Service Center. You quit using that guy.
Well, he sold out.
Yeah, he did. I've
they
used the new guy.
Too.
The new guy's good.
It wasn't Bubba that bought it, was it?
No, it wasn't Bubba. I've used the new guy. He's an Hispanic fellow, and he's a nice man.
No, actually, I used Bubba because Sears referred me to him because the ice box still, we had the service policy.
What did I have this? I had this new guy do something to my refrigerator. I can't remember what it was. Maybe. I don't remember, but he cleaned it and fixed it, and it's worked fine ever since.
I guarantee you.
Oh, I know what he changed. He changed the little muffin fan in the bottom. Was making a lot of noise. Right.
Really?
Yeah.
That is the one appliance that when we bought new, like before we built the house, I mean, we bought one when we moved, and I bought a 5-year contract on it. But
yeah.
That is the one appliance.
On your fridge.
Yeah. Because, buddy, Sears was good to come. Mine was almost out of date when they came, and they, you know, and I got one last shot at them.
We did that on a dishwasher one time, and the same kind of deal. Just before the warranty ran out, I mean, they came out and they, you know, went through all through the dishwasher and checked everything, re-leveled, just did everything, and it was like new, man. By the time you know, they changed a couple of things.
This fan on the fridge going out was coordinated with the, or came about the same time as the first lightning strike a year ago now, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Could happen. Boy,
and it was all I could do to convince Luann that lightning had not hit. You couldn't say, oh, that's stupid, you know, because if you do that, then you're for a year you're out in the garage.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever use the S word.
I just said, well, that could be, baby, reckon. Well, call somebody and see. Well, all right, I'll call somebody. So I called Action Service Center, and he came out and said the same thing we said, or I said. Is that little fan down there, he changed it, charged me $32.50 or whatever. Lightning had hit the refrigerator. Yeah, it was. You don't want to. You got to be real careful. Diplomatic. Diplomatic is kind of.
That's the key word.
That's the key word. Diplomacy is the key word.
Yeah.
All right. What else, Patterson? What have you done lately?
Well, I was just telling Don earlier. You know, I hear since we've inherited this rather large yard, I found that a lot of my little tools were in bad need of repair, and so I've had a chance to. Or an occasion to
tell us about the new string thing you bought.
Well, we took our leaf blower in and had the on these two cycle engines, for some reason about every 3 years the fuel lines just deteriorate. And so you're standing there with your tool in your hand and then you wind up with a handful of fuel, you know. And so I had there's a place in town that works on small engines.
I'm gonna
pass
a cheap lamp.
Yeah. And my weed eater was in bad need of repair, so I took it and had them tune it just to complete the fuel lines, air filter, fuel filter, all that. And also, while I did it, I got tired of it's neat to use a weed eater. I'm partially sighted, and it's great fun. Until it comes time to putting string on them, and even though I had one of these sort of rapid loads where you could, you know, ratchet, you could. It never did thread right. You were supposed to be able to put the end of the string in there without taking it off and then wind it up like you're winding a clock, you know, and it rolls back in there. So this time when I had the machine overhauled, well, I had them put what they call a rapid load head on there. And it's fairly expensive. It was like $40-something because they had to buy an adapter kit. And I let them do it because I wasn't sure that I could do it. I wasn't sure because the old one. And so anyway, but basically what it does, it has a hole for the string on either side, and you buy pre-cut string. Mine is like 0.095, I don't know if that's millimeters or whatever. It's a fairly heavy cord, not as big as some I've seen. And you just you insert the end of your string, your 8-inch piece of string. You'd need two of them every time you change string. And in the center of this, where it's attached to the weed eater is a bolt. You can feel up, it's kind of concaved up in there, and you can feel this bolt. And so when you push your string in, push its end to about the center of that bolt, and then when you push in the other side, and it's sort of it push it the same distance that away, and it's important because when it breaks off real close to the end, you have to have a way to pull it out, and you pull it from the same direction that you fed it in, I mean, in going in that direction, because it will not allow you to pull it back. In other words, if you stick the string in there, you cannot pull it out from the outside.
But there's a hole on both sides.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you need to make sure you leave yourself something to play.
Yeah.
And so it works fine. Obviously, with my vision, I people that really know how to weed eat, the end of the string is what you should be using to cut the weeds. I mean, it makes your string last longer on the outside, because I get everywhere probably but the end.
Well, yeah, that's just...
And I found that I broke a lot of... It seemed like I used an excessive number of these. I think I had to put new string in there about 3 times and just, doing it around the house. Because we have a lot of rocks, a lot of brick flower bed type of thing. I mean, so everything, you know, fences and, well, anything you hit is hard on your string. Anyway, I like it fine. If they would have made a better one, simpler load that would have handled a whole bunch of string like the older, I would have probably preferred that, because it seems like I had to stop, and you have to turn the thing off, put the string in. So I did that about 3 times. It kind of got, I mean, if I had a bunch of weed eating to do, I'd...
But overall, you would say it's easier to change string
than the old way. And, you know, most of the time, if your wife is real energetic, she'll run out, oh, baby, I'm going to weed eat around the house. Oh, there's no string on the weed eater. Could you come and put the string on it. Well, now that was the first lesson I gave. Okay, here's the way you do it, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But if I would have had another choice,
it took more string.
Where it would hold more string.
Well, we're out of time this week, Don, but next week we want to tell the story of how to catch the bumper of your trailer in your chain-length fence and
tractor.
Pull it down, which our boy Don did. 120 feet, did you say?
No, it cost me $150 to get a fence.
Bucks.
It was probably about 30 feet.
Pull the old fence right down. This is his brand-new chain-length fence, friends.
Brand new, man.
So that story coming up in the next exciting Blind Handyman Show.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. We appreciate it. We've done another one.
Yes, sir. Number 89. Hard to believe.
Don Patterson, Don Show, and my friend Tom Houston.
That's right.
Certainly welcome.
Ron Yearns.
Yeah.
I'll see you next week, or we'll all see you next week. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned if you're listening to ACB Radio for Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parse. He said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.